In our last lesson, we looked at the role of the woman in the home with regard to her position as a wife. And this morning, we want to focus primarily on her role as a mother. If a husband and wife choose to have children, then they become fathers and mothers, and they take on additional roles that they already have as a husband and wife. They take on additional roles now as a father and a mother. And we've been trying to make the point in the last few class periods with regard to the husband, the wife, and then in our next lesson, the children. We've been trying to make the point that God gives us divine roles and responsibilities for each of those, the man, the woman, the children. And when those roles and responsibilities are carried out the way God wants, then there's blessing, there's good, there is good fruit that is born from that. Marriage is good. Marriage is not a bad thing. Marriage is not a ball and chain drudgery. It's presented in Scripture as a very positive and good and wholesome thing. But it's because each one is fulfilling the roles and the responsibilities. But when those roles and responsibilities are not carried out, they're not fulfilled, they're not done properly by the man, the woman, the children, or all three, then there's going to be problems. Broken homes, problem homes, sin gets in, and there's a problem. So obviously we want the blessing, we want the good, and that means that each one of us in that relationship needs to be fulfilling his or her role and responsibility. So that's what we're trying to focus on in these lessons with regard to the man, the woman, and then in our next lesson, the children. We've looked at the man as a husband and father, and we've looked at the woman as a wife, and now we want to look at her with regard to being a mother. I'd like to read a few scriptures before we look at our material. We're going to be wrapping up our lesson on page 31. We want to wrap up the last six of these Roman numerals. But before we do that, let's read a few scriptures together. Let's read Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10, all the way down through the chapter. A worthy woman who can find, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband trusteth in her, and he shall have no lack of gain. She doeth him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her bread from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth food to her household and their task to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hands, she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and maketh strong her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh for herself carpets of tapestry. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh linen garments and selleth them, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laugheth at the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her, saying, many daughters have done worthily, but thou excellest them all. Grace is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth Jehovah, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. First Timothy 2:11. Let a woman learn in quietness with all subjection. But I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not beguiled, but the woman being beguiled hath fallen into transgression. But she shall be saved through her childbearing, if they continue in faith and love, and sanctification with sobriety. Turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. Verse 11. This is talking about who can be enrolled and helped with the church treasury on a permanent basis. Older women. Verse 9, I want to start, I'm sorry, I think I said verse 11, I want to start back in verse 9. Let none be enrolled as a widow under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works, if she hath brought up children, if she hath used hospitality to strangers, if she hath washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. But younger widows refuse, for when they have grown wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation, because they have rejected their first pledge. And withal, they learn to be idle, going about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I desire, therefore, that the younger widows marry, bear children, rule the household, give no occasion to the adversary for reviling. For already some are turned aside after Satan. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Beginning in verse 1, Titus 2:1. But speak thou the things which befit sound doctrine, that aged men be temperate, grave, sober-minded, sound in faith, in love, in patience. That aged women likewise be reverent in demeanor, not slanderers, not enslaved to much wine, teachers of that which is good, that they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be sober-minded, chaste, workers at home, kind, being in subjection to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. These texts that we've just read are some of the key texts involving the woman as a mother. Of course, in there were some other things that we've brought out with regard to the husband as well. But we're focusing on the part of the lesson this morning dealing with the woman as a mother. And we see especially in The Worthy Woman and other passages that it's a very honorable thing to have children. It's a very good thing. It's a very noble thing. In today's society, motherhood is denigrated. It's viewed as some sort of a unimportant thing. It's not as important as going off and getting a career and things like that. And so it's put down, it's demeaned, it's considered not very important in today's world in many places. And that's one reason why we have so many problems in the home and in society. So it's a very noble task. It's a very important task for the women. In society, it's viewed as something that is just not that important. But we know in the Lord's church how important it is. And when God said to the man and the woman in the beginning, be fruitful and multiply, that was a responsibility to have children that carries with it a very important thing with God. It's not just some second class, second rate, you know, dumb job that's not really that important. That attitude is what has led the world to not valuing the proper raising of children. And we wonder why we have so many problems in our society today. Sherry, we'll start with you this morning. On Roman numeral 4, let's wrap up these things in this lesson. And then I would like to take some time to focus on the woman as a mother this morning. If you'll take letter A there, please.
The older women are to teach the younger women to be keepers at home.
Okay. And then, Joyce, letter B, please.
What does this mean? It means to manage the home properly, end of the day, the family not be out running around.
Okay. And Michael, letter C. No, we find Proverbs 31 that she's taking care of her children, but she's going out and selling garments and other things. She's buying a field and turning around and, you know, making proceeds off of that. So it doesn't necessarily, a homemaker doesn't mean you never leave the home. It means that you manage the home. Now, I want to look at a couple of words. Look right here at Titus chapter 2. We're in Titus chapter 2. Look at Titus chapter 2 and verse 5, and we'll talk about this some more in a minute. We have to understand the Greek words. We've been talking about this before, that when we look at the roles and relationships of the man and the woman and the children in the home, it's based on Bible words. It's not based on our think-sos, our opinions, some sort of Church of Christ doctrine. It's words that are coming out of the Bible that mean things, and those meanings give meaning to our roles. We talked about kephale means lead, guide. Hupotasso means to submit, to obey. And then we have words. We have words that mean things. And so we have to go back and look at what these words mean. If we're not careful with this, we'll do what the rest of the world does, is, and they say, the idea of a husband being ahead and the wife being in submission and being a worker at home, all of that is, that's just societal tradition. And we'll start taking that approach, that it's just kind of the way we've been taught in the Western civilization, but that's not really the way you need to be. No, these concepts, the roles and relationships, are coming from biblical words. And it would be like not wanting to pay attention to other biblical words. Well, we don't care what the word baptism means, you know. We don't care what the word this means or the word that means. And so we've got to go back. We always go back and base our understanding on the Bible. In Titus 2 and verse 5, there's two words here. I want to look at this one and then 1 Timothy 5:14. Workers at home. It just literally means a home worker. There are things that she's going to be doing in the home with the children and the house, the four walls of the house, that involve work in there. There's cooking and cleaning and taking care of children. And when you hear those words, cooking, cleaning, taking care of children, that's portrayed today as, well, that's just a societal tradition. No, it comes from Bible words. It's not just the way society has sort of pawned off this idea. There are things that she has to do to work at the home, in the home and at the home. Turn with me to 1 Timothy 5. This word is even more helpful. 1 Timothy 5:14. I desire, therefore, that the younger widows marry, bear children. My version says, rule the household. Does anybody else have anything other than that? Manage the household. Go ahead.
Guide the house.
Anything else? We've got rule, guide, manage.
Keep house.
Okay. One of the best translations is manage. The word literally means a house manager. And what's interesting is the word is oiko, house. You ever buy that Greek yogurt, oikos. If you want to learn some Greek, that means house. Oikos, oiko, and then it's the word despotes. What do we get from despotes? What English word do we get?
Despot.
What's a despot? Does anybody know what a despotic ruler or a despot?
Tyrannical.
Yeah, they're tyrannical. That's why the American Standard says rule. It means to rule. But it's the idea of managing the affairs. You know, there's decisions that have to be made. There's choices that have to be made. There's things that have to be done. And so she's a house manager. She rules and makes decisions in the home, taking care of cooking, cleaning, clothing, scheduling. There's all kinds of things that have to be done. And so that's what that word means, a house manager. And that speaks to someone who is very much involved in what's going on there. We hear today about kids, you know, latchkey kids, where mom and dad's not at home and they just come home and nobody's managing them, nobody's helping them, and then they get into all kinds of trouble and so forth. So, ladies, as a mother, you have a managerial role in the home. And that's one of the best, definitions for that. Because the word literally means a ruler, despot, it's oikodespotes, house ruler, literally. But it's the idea of managing, guiding. That's why some versions have guide, manage, you know, that type of thing. So what's implied in all of that? Decisions, choices, proper spending of money, taking care of the kids in different kinds of ways, and the home and your husband. There's a lot involved there. So you don't get the idea that she's some sort of wallflower that just, you know, stay over there and be quiet and, you know, I don't want to hear anything out of you. She's actually an integral part of the managing of the home. Okay? And so that's why he puts down there under letter D, there are people in society that say, well, motherhood, man, that's boring. That it's non-fulfilling. I don't get any fulfillment out of that. You know, I want to be a president of some corporation. I'm just not getting any fulfillment. And then he says, the woman can take pride in what she does. It's a very important role. Okay, any other thoughts on that? So when we understand Bible words, we understand what's involved in those roles. Okay? Let's look at Roman numeral 5. Shonda, we jump back a little bit to our last lesson where we were talking about the wife and some of her attitudes toward things, and we talked about this in our last lesson, but go ahead with letter A there.
And wives see that she respects her
husband. Right. And Brittany B.? Right, you treat the husband with admiration, high esteem, respect, and that's going to be done with your words and thoughts and actions. Michael, letter C.
How does a wife show reverence for her husband? She listens, she's obedient, respects him, manages his home.
Right, and those are all important things. Those are not second-rate class citizen things. Those are not demeaning things. Those are all extremely noble and honorable things. So, do you remember in talking about the man and the woman and the children, do you remember we talked about there are three things, the role and then the responsibility and then the attitude. It's not enough just to fulfill our role. We have to have the proper attitude behind it. It would be like me, well, the Bible says that I'm supposed to love Sherry as the church, as Christ loved the church. So I'll do it, but I'm going to have a bad attitude about it. And then she's supposed to submit to me. I'll do it, but I'm just going to have a... It's the role and the attitude that God is looking for, not just one. So I have to do that as Christ loved the church and as I love my body. She has to do that as is fitting in the Lord. There's attitudes behind what we're doing. Because I'm sure we've all experienced this, and I know we probably experienced it when we were younger, and that is... We've done things, but we had the wrong attitude while we were doing it. And we all went through that with our parents. They told us to do something, and we march off. I'll go do it. And we got a bad attitude about it. Well, I'm sure we've all done something with a bad attitude. Did the right thing, but with the wrong attitude. That's what I'm getting at. And so we have to be careful about that in the home relationship. We do the right thing with the right attitude. Okay, let's look. Are any other thoughts on that with regard to the wife reverencing or respecting her husband? And of course, for everything we say about the wife, there's always the other side of the coin that goes with that. And whatever we say about the husband, there's always the other side of the coin with the wife. So, for example, on this one, if she's to respect her husband, then we have to give her something to respect. And there's two sides to each coin. And if we want her to submit, then we have to be the proper leader and not be doing that in the wrong way. So it takes both parties all the time to get that balance and that flip side each time. Let's look now back to the matter of the mother with regard to the children. Letter B there, Janice Evans. What qualities are needed to make for a good mother? I'm sorry, take letter A first, and then Patricia, you can take B. Right, and we've made note before that this is a little bit different Greek word than agape. Agape, the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Agape, meaning sacrifice, serve. This is phileo, which is tender affection and compassion, to love her husband, to love her children. Okay, and so a mother is not going to mistreat her children in any kind of way. And Patricia, letter B, please. Okay, good. Those are all very good. Thank you. And he mentions there in Titus 2, discreet, chaste, sober-minded, those things that are mentioned right there in verses 4 and 5. Those are all good things, too. Okay, very good. Let's look at a few things this morning, then, with regard to the woman as a mother. It's an extremely important role, and for the man, for the woman, and even for the children, we'll see in our next lesson, you always look at three things: their position, their responsibility, and then their attitude. All of those have to be right with God. Let's look at her responsibilities now. First of all, there are spiritual responsibilities. Teach them God's word. The man needs to be doing that. The father needs to be doing that. But the mother needs to be doing that as well. If you look, for example, at these passages about, you know, God's word in your home, that was for both the mother and the father. If you turn over to Proverbs 1:8, listen to, the word of your father and the commandment of your mother. Father and mother are mentioned in these passages. So both the man and the woman are teaching the children God's word. Jesus, when he was growing up, he grew in wisdom and in stature. Both Joseph and Mary are a part of that. And in 2 Timothy 3:15, we know that young Timothy was taught the scriptures from a babe. And, of course, that would include his mother teaching. So both the father and the mother are teaching the children God's word. And we both need to be, a part of that, integral in that. I was doing some reading. Look at Proverbs 31. It just caught my eye. Go back to very, very first verse. The words of Agur. Where did he learn, not Agur, Lemuel, where did Lemuel learn these words? Verse 1, he learned them from his mother, which his mother taught him. King Lemuel learned these wise words from his mother, what his mother taught him. And so it's very important. Number 2, lead them to serve the Lord through their own example. They're out serving the Lord. They've become a Christian. In Acts chapter 16, Timothy was a Christian, but look at it. His mother was a Christian, but his father wasn't. So he had learned to become a Christian through his mother. Timothy learned it from his mother and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. And where did Moses get his faith? Does anybody remember the names of Moses' parents? Amram and Jochebed. And in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, they had faith, and she had faith to save Moses, and she's the one that passed that on to Moses. She had the faith first, and then the next verse says that Moses had faith. Well, he didn't get it from the Egyptians. He got it from his mother. And so we're a faithful Christian. We're living right. And then we pass that on to our children. She sets the right example for them. We've read this before in Ezekiel. As is the mother, so is the daughter. This, we say like father, like son. But right or wrong, they're going to follow our example. Good or bad, they're going to follow our example. And so that's a very important role that we have. Show them the fear of the Lord. In the just right there toward the end of Proverbs 31, what is important is that she fears the Lord. Beauty is skin deep, but fearing the Lord is even deeper. And the mother shows her sons and daughters the fear of the Lord in serving the Lord. So there are spiritual responsibilities. Okay? Now, of course, there are physical responsibilities. These are things in the home that involve food, shelter, clothing, those types of things. First of all, she's the child bearer. That's a part of her role given all the way back in Genesis, that in pain she would give birth. There is the command to be fruitful and multiply. The one reason why I read chapter 2 and verse 15 was, she shall be saved through her childbearing. That is a role and responsibility that God has given her. And it's a noble thing. It's not a demeaning thing. It's not a second-rate slavery type of thing. It's a noble thing. And it's a part of her being right with God. Paul says that they marry, bear children, and manage the household. But notice this. She needs to protect her child in the womb. In Psalm 139, verse 13, God forms the child in the womb. And we're aborting about 1.2 million babies every year in this, just in this country. It's even millions and millions when you take worldwide. Mothers are not protecting their children from the very beginning. And you know what's sad about that is? Do you know that there are some mother animals that are more protective of their babies than human beings? Do you know that? That is just sad to me. You take a mother bear. You try to take the little babies from a mother bear, you're going to have a fight on your hands. And there are like a mother wolf, I'm told, they will fight you to the death if you get near her babies. But there are human beings that, sure, you can abort my baby. That's no, I don't care. And even after they're born, sometimes they won't care for them. That's just sad. Where you've got animals more protective of babies than human beings. You need to protect your child in the womb and then work to provide for them. And we're going to come back to Proverbs 31 and look at some things there in just a minute. But it may be in the home, it may be out of the home, it may be whatever it takes to take care of your children. Lydia, she sold purple. She was a merchant, and she took care of her household that way. So it may involve work outside the home from time to time. We've already looked at this word. 1 Timothy 5:14 means a house manager. Not to be idle, not to be lazy, just sitting around doing nothing. You take care of your children and take care of your home. It's very important. And then Titus chapter 2, she is literally, the word means a home worker, a homemaker. And, you know, there are important things involving that we've already looked at. So there are physical responsibilities, of course. Spiritual in teaching and training them God's word, setting the right example. Physical in providing all the things that they need. And if a mother would do that properly, we would have a lot less need in our country for all these government programs that have to take care of children. Mothers would be doing that right, and there would be a lot less need. There are legitimate needs for things like that. When you have true orphans, when you have true disasters that affect children. But much of what's going on today is just laziness. Laziness. It's not that we have some famine or some natural disaster or some where just all the children have been their parents have been killed in tragic auto accidents. Obviously, we step in and help that type of situation. But we're just talking about people who are lazy. And then the children are suffering for it. And it's a shame and it's sad. But it's just selfishness. It's adults being selfish and not wanting to fulfill their God-given roles, both men and women. Okay? Anything else on the physical responsibilities? Very important, very key. And so this is the type of woman we're looking for to marry. You know, when we go through the things on the man, this is the type of man that we're looking for to marry and so forth. Okay? What about, turn back with me to Proverbs 31 now. Let's go down through the text. Turn back with me to Proverbs 31. I just went down through the texture on this chart and just pulled out the key words that illustrate what's going on in each place. And this makes for a great lesson. And it's a good lesson for all of us and for the mothers and the wives. Is this the kind of woman I'm going to be when I grow up? Am I going to be these types of things? Okay, first of all, notice verses 10 through 12. A worthy woman who can find, for her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband trusteth in her. He shall have no lack of gain. She doeth him good and not evil all the days of her life. Notice, first of all, that she's virtuous. The word means this is godly. She's a worthy, virtuous woman. She's living right. Her husband trusts in her. Look at verse 12. She's doing good. This speaks to her virtuosity, her righteous character, her relationship with God. She is virtuous. She's living right and doing right and doing good toward her husband. She's in a right relationship with God. Okay. Number two, notice that she's diligent. Starting in verse 13, she seeketh wool. She worketh willingly. The Hebrew word means at the business of, okay? She's like the merchant ship going out. Look at verse 15. She riseth also while it is yet night. You see a diligent, energetic, go-getting attitude. Not this slothful, lazy, you know, I'm just going to sleep till noon and may or may not get something done, that type of thing. But energetic and diligent. Number three, she's intelligent. This is not someone who's just, well, you know, she doesn't have any brains to do anything, so she'll just be at home. You'll hear that kind of thing in society. Look at verse 16. She considereth a field and buyeth it. You got to have some brains to do that. You got to have some know-how. You got to have some intelligence. And she girdeth her loins with strength. Look at verse 18. She perceiveth that her merchandise is profitable. She has some business sense. She's got some brains. So there's intelligence here, okay? The world portrays it as, well, that's what you do when you can't do anything else. You sit at home and have babies and take care of kids. That's how it's portrayed in the world, and that's wrong. Number four, she's benevolent. She's giving. Look at verse 19. She layeth her hands. This is, making the wool with the old-timey spindle and distaff, you know, the big wheel that spins around, and you're making the thread from that, and then you use that to sew. But she takes care of her own, and then look at verse 20. She reaches forth her hands to the needy. She's going to take care of her own and others. Okay? And then she's talented. Look at verse 21 through 24. She's not afraid of the snow. She's clothing her household. She makes the carpets. Her husband is known. Look at verse 24. She maketh linen garments. This is one thing that is falling by the wayside. Young women are growing up and they don't know how to cook. They don't know how to clean. They don't know how to do basic things. There's some talent involved. And so if we can help our young ladies to learn those things, that's extremely important. They're not going to get it out in the world. They're going to get it from us. And Sherry learned how to cook from her parents. And you can probably tell I like Sherry's cooking. She learned that from her parents and other things. But there was one class that she took, and I don't think she's going to mind me putting her on the spot, but she took one class right before we got married. She took a sewing class. And you know what? She's used that her entire time, the whole time we've been married. Sewed things for us, sewed things for others. But she learned how to do that. But whether it's that or 100 other things, we learn how to do things in the home. And that way we can take care of our home. We're losing that today. And I can even speak for myself. When I was growing up, Dad made us do some things. I wasn't made to do every little thing. But my older brother, Steve, can do some stuff that I can't do because, and I've asked him before about this, he said, Chris, what happened was when I was a teenager, I had both grandfathers right around me and they were teaching me electricity, how to do electrician stuff, how to do mechanic stuff. By the time you came around, both grandfathers were gone and you didn't have that. You had some other things with Dad, but you didn't have that I had. He said, that's one reason why I can do some stuff. They were showing me how to do stuff. And so I understand that even from a personal standpoint, that you grow up and you're not maybe able to do things because you were never able, you know, taught those things. But we've got to teach our young men to do things and our young women to do things because there's going to need to be some talent there later to do stuff. She's very talented. Okay, let's look at the next verses. She's wise. She uses her mind and her words in a wise way. When she speaks, look at what the text says. She opens her mouth with wisdom. That is, what she says is going to come from God's word. It's going to be based on the wisdom of God's word. And the law of kindness is on her tongue. And so she speaks and acts in a wise way. Look at verse 27. She's energetic. Verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her house. She does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not going to be lazy and a freeloader and just, well, somebody else will bail me out. That's what we've got going on in our country. Government will bail me out. You know, this program will bail me out. That program, the church will bail me out. Government will bail. I'll just sit around lazily doing nothing. I won't get up and get a job. Someone will bail me out. She's not going to be like that. And then, look at it. Here's what happens. With all those things, when all of those things are in place, she's praised. She's praised by her children. She's praised by her husband. And do you think she's praised by God? The whole fact that this chapter is in the Bible says God is praising her and holding her up as a noble thing. The fact that he put all that in the Bible. So, and there's not a woman here that doesn't want to be praised by God and her family and so forth. And so these are the types of things that are in her life. That's a beautiful chapter. Any other thoughts or observations from this chapter? The only other thing I had on that is because people ask me all the time this, is it okay for a Christian woman, wife, to work outside the home? I get asked that, and so I wanted to bring that up. First of all, we find we wouldn't have this example in the Bible if that wasn't authorized for her to do something like that. Number one, mothers, wives, your primary role and responsibility is in the home. That has to be taken care of. When that is taken care of and you can go out if you need to and do something else in order to take care of the family, then that is authorized in the scripture. What is happening in our society is women are completely abandoning the homemaking role. They're completely abandoning that to go out and have a career. That would be wrong. We're not talking about a Christian woman who keeps her home in line and then goes out and does those other things. We're talking about someone who completely abandons that. And there may be a need for that. And the reason I'm bringing this up is not to preach to some particular woman or not another woman, but it's because I get asked this and people want to know. There are situations in which a woman may need to do that, a wife may need to do that. And so it would be good for her to do that. Sometimes, and I also get asked this, is it a good idea for young Christian women to get an education beyond high school? Because they'll ask me, they'll say, there's really no need for her to do that because she's just going to get married and have babies and be at home. So I wanted to mention this. Something you got to think about. And it happens a lot in life and you got to think about it. You as a a mother or as a wife may have to go out and do some work, and a good education beyond high school would help you in that. Because my best friend in college cannot leave the house. He and I are the same age. He cannot leave the house. He is wheelchair bound with MS, and he's had it for the past 10 years. And his wife has to do some extra things to take care of the family. Number one, your husband may get very sick and you need to work. Okay. Number two, he might get injured. Number three, he might die. He might pass away. And you might have to take care of yourself. You might have to get out there and do some work. You might have special needs children where it's more expensive to take care of handicapped children or something like that. There are different things that come up where you might need to go out and get some work. And so, yes, we need to be thinking primarily my work is in the home and I need to make sure I take care of that work. I don't need to just go into life, well, I'm just going to be a career woman and I'm just not going to do anything with children. The children, the home is first, but you also have to be thinking I may need to do something outside the home, and a good education is important and helpful for that. So just to answer the questions sometimes that get asked me, those are my judgments on the matter, trying to provide some practical judgment along with God's Word. Any thoughts or observations on that? So the work in the home doesn't necessarily mean she never leaves the house. It's working in the home, taking care of all those things. And then if she has to for some reason, sometimes when the children get older, there's more and more needs and they may need to do that temporarily. There's different things that come up in life where that is necessary. Any other thoughts on that before we look at something else? Okay. She does have a corrective responsibility. We've all the spanking passages, and we had a lesson just entirely devoted to that just a couple of Sunday nights ago. Both the father and the mother are a part of the discipline in the family. And as much as you can be balanced in that so that the child doesn't grow up, well, if I go to mommy, it's going to be a problem, but if I go to daddy, he'll let me off, or vice versa. We have to be balanced and equal in that and work together in that. Both mothers and fathers are a part of the corrective teaching. Both mothers and fathers. Children obey your parents, plural. So both the mother and the father have to be a part of causing the children to obey. And then last of all, her attitude. She raises her children with joy. She loves them. This is the natural, the phileo, the tender-hearted affection. She has natural affection. This is the fourth Greek word. There are four Greek words that speak to love. And the last one is storge, which means the natural affection between a mother and a child. Always remember that God gives you your children. They are a gift from God, and that will help us in our attitude each day. Some are absent from their children's lives. Don't do that. Some are too busy with work or hobbies to care for their children. Don't do that. Some are unwilling to pay the price for godly motherhood. Well, I'll just let somebody else do it. I'll let my family raise my kids. I'm too lazy. Don't do that. Some are selfish and worldly, and they show their children exactly who they are, and then they grow up to be selfish and worldly and so forth. So a lot of important things for us as mothers and fathers, and let's be fulfilling those, and Lord willing, we'll have the blessings that He promises us.